got your Bibles, go right back with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, it's good to be here. Romans 8, stand again with me, if you would. I'm going to read verse number 1. Then I want you to jump down with me, and I'm going to read a little bit more tonight. I'm going to read verses 18 all the way down through the end of the chapter, if you don't mind. I almost could read it and we just shout and go home, okay?
Amen.
This is good stuff. This is where I left off this morning. I'll try not to re-preach what I did this morning. I'm just going to touch on a couple things and go on. Look at Romans 8, verse number 18. Verse number 1 first. This is our text for today, our title today, our theme today. Therefore now. That's what we're preaching on, what we have now. Hallelujah for what we got now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now go down to verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know. Boy, I like that scripture. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Well, glory. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope. Somebody help me there. But hope that is seen is not hope. If you could see it, you wouldn't hope for it. My royal glory. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we for ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Man, here's a great verse.
Yep.
We always like to quote it for somebody else, but we don't like to apply it to ourselves.
That's true.
And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I like this chain of events.
Yeah.
Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, here's a great statement. What shall we say to these things? Hold on. How many's got your Bible there?
Yes, sir.
How many's got it? Raise at me if you got it. I want y'all to read that last phrase with me. Will you please? If God be for us, who could be against us?
Amen.
Can we do that one more time?
Yes.
Just give the devil a black eye.
Yes.
Last phrase again. If God be for us, who could be against us?
Amen.
He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
Amen.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as a sheep for the slaughter. Nay. And all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. Y'all still reading with me? All right, y'all there? How many's there?
38.
Now here's what I want you to do. I want y'all to read the last two verses with me. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
How many's ready?
Amen.
Here we go. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wait a minute. Time out. Hallelujah. Father, bless this message tonight. Lord, just for reading that Bible, help me. God, now touch me. Just give me that physical entry. The spiritual insight to only say that which I should. And we'll praise you tonight in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. We're moving tonight. I am preaching on this subject again tonight. Part number two. There is therefore now. There is therefore now. Now, anytime there is a therefore, it always points you back to the last chapter on what was said. The last chapter talked about the futility of you trying to keep the law and you trying to work out things in your flesh. Somebody say amen. Not only the futility, but the frustration and the failure and the fatigue. I see a lot of Christians burning out. You want to know why? They're trying to operate this Christian life in their flesh and not by the Spirit. Now, can I do something? He reminded me something there a little while ago, my brother back there. He's had some note in his Bible, something I said years and years ago. If you want to study, do this for me. If you want to study chapter 8, actually, to study this and get it right, you've got to study chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. And here's how I'd like for you to look at it. Look at it like you're looking at a engine with horsepower. And that's a powerful engine. Now, look at it that way, and I'll explain that to you in a moment. I love fast cars. We got some guys in the church has them. I like getting with them. And like, they rode me the other day. Man, I got a rush on it, man. Whoo! Faster the better. If one of y'all want to buy me one of them Mustangs, you can. I'd drive it once. And they got one coming out, 760 horsepower. That gives me goosebumps. Man, won't you get one of them, Brian, so you can drive me around? Somebody say amen right there. Angie said no. But let me explain something. Just write this little note down, and I'm moving. I just wanted to share this with you. If chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8 is like an engine, then tell me how. Chapter 6 is the mechanics of the engine, how it works, the pistons and all that, how it works. That's chapter 6. Chapter 8's the horsepower. After you get the mechanics right, then you got the horsepower. How many of y'all have ever heard, though, of a monkey wrench? Come on, mechanics, give me one mechanic that knows what I'm talking about. You can throw a monkey wrench in it. You know what the monkey wrench is in the Christian life? It's not the mechanics of the Christian life. It's not the horsepower of the Christian life. It's the flesh. Hey, by the way, you cannot please God in your flesh. And you cannot keep the law and be saved. You said, prove that to me. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I'm running a rabbit. This crowd that says you're saved one way in the Old Testament, One way in the tribulation period. One way in the millennial. It's absolutely out of their mind. There's only one way to be saved. The law never saved nobody. The only thing that saves you is the grace of God that's found in Christ. All right, now let me hurry on. We spoke this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation. What we have now, we said this morning we have access into freedom. We said this morning we have adoption into the family. But tonight I want you to look with me, and I'm not even going to go over all that. If you want to get this morning's sermon, get it. But tonight I want you to go further with me. Look at verse number 18 through 25. Number three, we got an anticipation for the future. This world that we're living in, all they can look at is now. Now. All they can fathom is now. But there, whoa, what do we have now? Number three, write this down. An anticipation for the future. Let's look at four things. I want you to follow me in your Bible. How many of you got your Bibles tonight? Stay with me. Number one, in verse number 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Number one, we will have relief from our burdens. I've been pastoring the same church I'm heading to 42 years. And it hadn't changed. There's one thing hadn't changed in 42 years. We're all burdened. We have burdens. And I want you to know something. There's some burdens you share, and there's some burdens you bear. But one of these days, somebody wave at me and say, hallelujah. Can you imagine a period of time in eternity when you'll never have a burden again? When they're all gone. Whoa! See, now you can cast your burden upon Him and He'll sustain you. But one of these days, He's going to wipe out the burdens. The suffering of this present time will not be equal to the glory we have in Christ Jesus. No burdens, no heartache, no pain, no sickness, no breakups, no divorce, no anger. Peace, peace. Somebody help me tonight. Man, if I could climb this, whoa, no more burdens. Verse 21. Then we're going to be released from bondage.
Yes, sir.
You said, what do you mean we're released from bondage? Look what the Bible says. Because the creature is all also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. I want you to know the whole creation's in bondage. The animals are in bondage. Boy, can I stop and give you something to shout about? One of these days, nature is going to be put back like it was in the Garden of Eden. When Adam named every animal, he named them all. You said, well, we have an ostrich because Adam named it ostrich. Why do we have an elephant? Because Adam named it. Every one of them. And I want you to know something. Those animals themselves are under a curse. One of these days, during the millennial kingdom, a lion will lay down with a lamb and with a lad. You can stick, you'll be able to stick your head right up in the lion's mouth and he won't hurt you. That ain't getting you shouting, it's got me shouting. We'll get released from bondage, not only with a creature, but God's prized creation. We're all in the fleshly bondage. Somebody say amen right there. We're in a fleshly bondage right now. I wish I could do what I used to be able to do. But one of these days I'll get to do something I've never been able to do.
Amen.
Look at verse 23. What an anticipation. Let me ask you something. Do you like this? Look at verse 23. Y'all there? Somebody say amen if you're there. And not only they, not only the creature, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Time out. I got to explain this. Let me slow down. But we also that have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, you might be saying, not only will we have relief from our burdens and release from our bondage, we're going to have the redemption of our body. Now, you said, how do you really know you're going to get a new body? I'm glad you asked. But I have, because, how many knows a little bit about banking? Enough about buying a house and banking. How many knows just a little bit? If you want to buy a house, especially in this climate, most of the time they want you to have a 20% down payment or you ain't getting one. But they do have some, the veterans, they can go all the way up to 100%. So to buy a piece of property, you have to have a down payment. Well, you know what God done for you and me, Lois? And everybody in this room? To assure us that we're going to have the redemption of our body, He put a down payment in us. You say, what is that? That's the earnest of the Spirit. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Somebody said, John, are you sure you're going to make it? Are you sure you're going to get there? Are you sure? Can you really believe that you're going to get a new body? I'm getting a new body. Now, hold. God, I feel a little bit better tonight. Hold a minute. When He saved you, now listen carefully. He didn't save this. He did not save your flesh. He did not save your flesh. He didn't save your flesh. He saved the inner man. And that's why He said, he that is born of God does not commit sin. I cannot sin on the inside. So if I can't sin on the inside, I can't be lost again. I wasn't going to preach that, but I kind of liked it. But one of these days, what He done on the inside in that redemption, that is the hope and the promise and the guarantee that He's going to do it on the inside. Whew. Hallelujah. Hey, when I die and they lay my casket up here, I want all y'all to know that that body that's in that casket just went to sleep. You say, what about the soul and spirit? Soul and spirit never goes to sleep. They can be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. And I want you to know soul and spirit's going up there. And if you believe Jesus died and was buried and rose again, then with Him which is sleeping Jesus in the grave, God will bring with Him. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive made shall be caught up together in the air, so shall we be ever be at the last. And we will be redeemed. Our body will be redeemed, and redemption will be finished. I really thought I was going to move along a little faster. Is that all right? Let me hurry on. We have relief from our burdens, release from our bondage, redemption of our body. Verse 24, we have resolved to believe. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Why is it some of you, only way you can operate is in things you see? The Bible says that just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now notice, the Bible says, but if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Lord God, I just felt something good. Think about this. I believe God. Here's what I believe. I believe He's going to come out with a voice and an archangel. of the archangel and the trump of God. And he's going to rapture us. And that is my blessed hope and soon appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our body in the likeness of his glory body. And I believe it. Let me ask all y'all, how many of y'all believe that? Come on, wave at me if you believe it. How many's got loved ones you know that you've already buried and you're waiting to see them again? Somebody help me preach. Judy, I saw you had your anniversary with George this week. Could you imagine? He's up there right now. He's laughing, having a good time, telling jokes. I know how crazy he is. He's crazy now. Could you imagine? You know what kind of hope we got? I'm going to see him. Your preacher daddy, you're going to see him. My daddy, how many's got somebody over yonder? We're going to see them.
Amen.
That's just not a, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost thing. That's not just a myth. That is a fact. Because the Bible says, therefore, now.
Right.
Let me give you four things real quick. Look at verse number 26. I'm going to try to finish Chad. Woo! Not only do we have anticipation for the future, but I like this. I like this. We have assistance in the fight.
Amen.
Now, I want all y'all to know something. God's not going to take you out of the fight.
Amen.
Now, you might want to be out of the fight, but you're not getting out of the fight.
Amen.
As long as we're in this body, on this planet, we got to fight. Can I say this by way of just trying to help you? Instead of being disagreeable for one another, really, we're not each other's enemy here. Sometimes we act like we are. No, 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 no. Our enemy's the devil. Our enemy's the flesh. Not each other. Boy, I just wish I could get people to see that. Why do we always fight? You know, Baptists are the people I know that kill their own wounded. You know, Baptists, they can't get no last second chance.
That's right.
I want you to know something. I'm glad I got a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. I got a God that never leaves me nor forsakes me. I got a God that loves me.
Amen.
Now, let me go on. What do you mean by assistance in this fight? Now, Wednesday night, if you come to prayer meeting, I'm going to do Daniel 10. I don't want to give it away. But Daniel 10, you're going to get a... God's going to roll back a veil. And you're going to see what spiritual warfare is. You know what I'm going to tell you Wednesday night? There's a guy I know that prayed. Now, listen to this. I don't want to give all the away. I'll just tell you a little bit of it to kind of get you wedded for Wednesday night. There's a guy named Daniel prayed. And he didn't get an answer for 21 days. And you might say, well, was he a bad boy? Shame on him. No, sir. Sometimes we think it like that. No, he wasn't a bad boy. I'll explain that Wednesday night. No, I'll tell you what happened. The prince of Persia went against the angel. And do you know the demons held up his prayer for 21 days?
Amen.
Come on, look at me.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, that don't happen. That, oh, yes, it does. I believe that one of the greatest warfares we have, well, you and I were talking about this morning, Larry, that one of the greatest warfares we have, one of the greatest powers we have is prayer. So I want you to know, if one of our greatest power is prayer, then I want you to know there's a devil that's going to fight your prayer life.
Right.
Now let me show you something. I'm trying to hurt. Good Lord. Look at verse 26. We got help in our prayers. Let me ask you something. Any of y'all ever struggle in praying? Raise your hand if you ever struggle. You ever? Come on. I want to ask y'all. Maybe nobody's like you except me. Maybe I'm only the carnal one here. You ever start praying and lose your train of thought? You ever been praying and just about fell asleep? Now, I know some of you spiritual people ain't never done that. But I have. You say, well, let me ask you something, preach. If you got weak in your prayers, I better not get too close. You got weak in your prayers, and you just wasn't real solid in that prayer. Well, how'd you get an answer? I got somebody that helps me to pray. Number one, sometimes I don't even know the will of God. Come on now. Some of you spiritual people, God bless you. You're a little bit more spiritual than I want you to be. You hear me out. You think, oh man, you got it. I don't always have it. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't even know what the will of God is. I'll get down. I don't know if I'm going to get beyond this point, Jeff. I can't help it. I'll get down and pray and I say, God, I want your will. I want you to help me. And really don't even have a clue what it is. I'm confused. But guess what happens? The Holy Ghost. Y'all don't believe this? You're out of your mind. The Holy Ghost starts making groanings. I don't even know what they are. That cannot be uttered. And he prays for me. Knowing that I have infirmities and he knows the will of God. And he goes direct to God. And I get prayers answered that I didn't even know how to even pray. Because I got somebody helps me in my prayers. Man, that ought to get some of y'all want to run around this place and shout glory. I got a Holy Ghost of God making intercession. Now, I got to say something. So I can clear something up. Can I clear something up? I don't think I'm going to get done. But can I clear something up? I got to say this. I don't want to know y'all mad, but I'm going to clear this up. That groanings which cannot be uttered, that's not prayer language. And that's not you talking in tongues. That's the Spirit talking in a heavenly tongue. A bunch of cares maniacs, they think you that the Holy Spirit talks in tongues or you talk in tongues with some kind of prayer language. That's false, friends. Hey, tongues ceased when we got the Bible. God's not giving that gift anymore. Hey, it was a sign gift to people that don't believe. We believe. We got an anchor of belief. Hallelujah. Now, I'm in a hurry. Verse 28, not only do we have help in prayer, but we got hope in our problems. This verse always makes me, I like it for y'all. I love to quote this verse for you. Rich, all things work together for the good. I want you to hear that, Rich. Jeff, all things work for your good. Amy, all things work for your good. Sounds real good when I'm praying for you. But then when I had to believe that for myself. Now, I want y'all to hear this. It says all things work for the good. Work together for the good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. I want you to know something. I've got a God that can even take bad experiences. Bad experiences and add a little mercy to it and add a little grace to it. And then we see a big purpose. There ain't a man, woman, and this boy in this room that hadn't had a bad experience. But if you look back, you can see his almighty hand, how he took you through, how he mixed the ingredients up. And all that stuff didn't seem like it gelled. The bad, the good, the bad, the good. But God put it all together so he could bring something great in your life. If you didn't have a little bad in your life, you'd never appreciate the good anyway. You'd never know there's hope in your problems. Verse 29, 30, there's holiness in our purpose. Look at it real quick. I'm hurrying. For whom he did he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, them he also called, them he also justified, and them he also justified, them he also glorified. There's holiness in my purpose. You know what God's doing all this for? Sometimes, do y'all ever say, God, has anyone in here other than me say, what's this all about? Yeah. Have anybody all done it? Yeah. Has anybody in this room done that? You ever done it? Yeah. Well, I think I know what's all about. So you can be conformed to the image of His Son. Yeah. Jeremy, he got a holy purpose. Lastly, I'll finish. I promise 2 or 3 minutes, I'm done. I want to finish today's sermon sometime. Look at verse 31 through 39. I'm done. Then we have assurance of my faith.
Amen.
Therefore, now, what we have now, we got an anticipation for the future, assistance in the fight, and assurance of my faith. Verse 31, look at that. I want you all to write this down in your notes. And the impossibility of us losing.
Amen.
What shall we say then? To these things, if God be for us, what? Here's the facts. You want to hear the facts? It's an impossibility for you to lose.
Amen.
Now, I ain't going to say that you're going to lose. You might lose a little ground here and there. But see, I would love for y'all to do this on a regular basis because it'll help you. Especially when you're going through a lot of hard times. I always go back to the back of the book. And it says this. The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire.
Amen.
And if God be for you,
amen,
who can be against you? In other words, it's impossible for you to lose.
Amen.
You ain't going to lose your salvation. Somebody help me preach. I'm almost done. Then I see innocence from all legality. Now I want you to know, there's a lot of people that will judge you. Oh, look at me. A lot of people that will judge you. Hey, they judge me, they'll judge you. But look at what he said. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can go up and say something bad about you? And by the way, the devil goes before the throne and accuses you all the time. Look here, y'all still with me? Whoa! Who's he that condemneth? I say it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God making intercession. Whew. Can I give you some? Will you write this down in your notes? I'm going to try to quit. He accuses us. Now, I know y'all's going to think I'm crazy. And I don't actually talk to the devil verbally. But sometimes I think he's talking to me. And he'll say something like this. I'm trying to hurry. You know what you've done in your past? You know what you used to be? Come on now. You know how many times you failed God? Let me give you a good thing. Write this down in your notes, Connie. When he reminds you of your past, here's what I want you to do. Remind him of his future. When he starts saying, look at all your failures, you remind him he's going to hell. And I'm not. He's going to burn like a crispy critter, but I'm not. Oh, that's wonderful, Ray. Now, I'm trying to get out of this thing, but I got to finish here with one more thing. I'm almost done. Number three, I see an inseparability from his love.
Yes, sir.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now let me just go over. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness do it? Let me say, number one, no circumstance can separate you from the love of God. Verse number 37, no crisis can separate you from the love of God. We all have crises.
Amen.
And verse 38 and 39, ain't no creature. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us of the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You may wake up tomorrow worrying about the stock market. Ain't no use to. Just wake up tomorrow knowing He loves you, no matter what it does. Behold, what a manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him.
Amen.
And seem as He is. God wants to wipe out any hint of depression, discouragement, defeat from you tonight and tell you that you are on the winning side.
Amen.
Bow your head with me.
Amen.
How many of you tonight that's saved? They bought everybody saved. How many saved? Say, preacher, the devil's beating the fire out of me. How many is he beating the fire out of you? Raise your hand if he's after you and beating the fire out of you. Sip it up. Trying to remind you some past failure. Come on. You know, God wants you to live victorious. Won't you just come around the altar tonight and say, I'm not listening to him anymore. I'm going to cling to what I have now. Folks are coming to the altar. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the good season of preaching. The liberty I've had all day to help people tonight. What a great day we're going to have when you redeem our body. Folks are coming in to pray. Help them as they pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You ought to be up here.
I need.
If you believe it's all you need, why don't you come around the altar?
Jesus is all I need. He
oh, yes! He's all you need.
When I can't stand,
woo!
Jesus
come on now! Read Romans 8 again. Shout a little bit, will you? Hallelujah. Bless you, Miss Glenn. God bless y'all. Amen. He's all you need. Bless you, Andrew, man. All y'all. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Oh, people loving each other. I like it. I like a church like it. We love each other. It's good to have fellowship like this. You can't have this in the world. It's good, ain't it, Jennifer? Let me pray. Father, thank you for all the great music tonight. Thank you for the good word of God. I'm encouraged in your Bible, not the messenger, Lord. I'm just a tool. It's your message you have for us that there is therefore now. Oh, so many great things we got now. Now bless your people. Encourage them as they go home. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. God bless you. Good night.